Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one half of your Quizmaster host, Lee Brushnida, and I am joined here with Mr. Mark Davis. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Lee.
Every week, Mark and I get together and share our favorite questions we've asked at our own trivia events and talk about the nuts and bolts of how we write questions. But before we get started with that, Mark, would you please introduce our first ever guest on the podcast who is sitting with us in the studio right here, right now?
Lee, I am so excited to announce a wonderful trivia patron, the bassist of one of my favorite local bands of all time, the Strip Club Moms, aww, and an old near and dear friend to me and to so many people.
And now our listeners.
And now our listeners, Seth Ford.
Good morning, gentlemen. You forgot to add dedicated listener.
Dedicated listener also, yes.
Dedicated listener, also. Dedicated father, player.
Father, husband.
Father to the lovely Amelia and husband to the wonderful little brown Wonder Muffin, Jennifer.
Singer, songwriter, percussionist.
He does it all, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sure you do a lot that we don't even know about.
Renaissance
Rhino
guy.
Liner.
Rhino liner.
So you've been into trivia for quite some time now, right?
I have always held a place in my heart for trivia. I don't feel like I'm really a master of anything, but a long time ago when I was younger, everybody pointed out that I had a knack for remembering little things, and I was able to hold on to that for a long time. You had mentioned in one of the earlier episodes a story where, you know, I was passed over, so to speak,
right,
from a coach for the Brain Bowl in high school. And I kind of was. Maybe it was my aesthetic. I won't be turned away from the fact that I was probably a pretty unsavory person to have on teams, especially back in those days. But, you know, I kind of held that around with me. I think Drew from Three Pepper had kind of said, "Oh, you got trivia daddy issues." I was thinking, sort of, I think, yeah. But I've been a patron for a long time, yes.
Yeah, you got a chip on your shoulder, kind of.
Kind of. That's why I do play by myself. I do want to know that I'm that it's being done by me. However, there have been times in the past where I am not adverse to playing with other people. There have been the select few occasions in the past that I would play with a good friend of ours, Mr. Eric Brandt.
Yes. Oh, I do remember you played with us before, I think once at Stevie Tomatoes.
And
It didn't take that night. It's just fun, though. I mean, ultimately, it's you know, using my brain. I don't want to lose what's there, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Work it out.
Well, thanks for joining us today. As our singular guest, though, you will be pulling double duty and playing for both teams on this episode. So I hope you don't mind a partner today.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Before we get into this week's questions, let's go over our weekly wrap-up. Congratulations to Casseroles, my Wednesday night winners at Bury Me Brewing Company, beating out the team Thanos Did Nothing Wrong. Casseroles taking it with a final score of 76 points. Congratulations also to my previous Thursday night winners at number 3, We've Got Nothing, who squeaked it out with a 4-point lead on their nearest competition, their friends and rivals Matt and the Squeaky Chairs. And once more, it was Mark's team, the Wet Boys, who won our Monday night game at Three Pepper Burrito Company, winning with just a 7-point lead on Barbzilla, a.k.a. Seth, right here. Yeah. So that's all for my weekly wrap-up. Mark, how did your team do?
I'm glad that you didn't put that in Seth's face, because he's sitting right here. I'm glad you didn't really, like...
No, I mean, we don't need to talk about it, go into too much detail, but there is a little rivalry popping up, a little weekly rivalry.
It's all in jest.
It's in
you
fun.
Guys, the Wet Boys, though, you've won the past 3 times. Are you on a run? You're on a spree right now?
I wouldn't say it's a run. I mean, we're just, you know, we're just hitting our stride.
Okay.
So, you know, I have no doubt that we'll be felled eventually.
Well, how did your night go out, Nice Guys, on Wednesday?
It was good. It was busy. We had a sweep.
Nice.
I am bread. It's my birthday, bitch.
Is that one team?
Yes, it was one team. They won the first 2 rounds out and out, and then at the end of the 3rd round, we had a tie.
Mm.
Which, I mean, it doesn't get much more beautiful than that, between I Am Bread, It's My Birthday, Bitch, and another team called We're Going to Miss You, Adrian and Chastity, Have Fun in China, which was a joke that Adam and Charity, not Adrian and Chastity, were leaving. It was their ultimate night. So it ended up in a tie between those two teams, and with the last question, which was, oh, what river is dammed by the Hoover Dam, I believe? And the answer was Colorado River. And Adam, Adrian, and the Adrian and Chastity team raised their hand first. got it wrong.
Oh, you do a hand raise.
We do, yeah. I didn't want to
I do a shout it out.
Yeah.
When you know it.
Yeah, I do a hand raise.
Okay.
So it's that's about as physical as it gets, as long as you can raise your hand fast.
I had a tie between two teams last night, and the tie was between four teams.
Jesus Christ.
Four-team tie.
How do you fit them all in front of you?
Well, we had the space, luckily. But two answers came out almost simultaneously, and it pained me because it was like a millisecond.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody there knew. The guy was just a quarter second behind, basically, yeah. You know.
It happens. So,
about a quarter second. You know, that's how finite my my timekeeping skills are.
So they do end up listening. Adam and Charity, it was wonderful having you. Basically, 4 years of trivia. They've gone since almost the first day that I had trivia there. They've come not every week, but, you know, many, many, many times. So
they got something else coming to them when they go to China and try and play their trivia. I guarantee there's going to be a lot less American-focused questions.
I'm sure, yeah.
Do they have trivia in China? Pub trivia?
Sure they do somewhere. I can't imagine that they've outlawed trivia in China, but...
With a billion people there, it's got to have a few trivia nights.
Maybe they have better things to do with their time. They're like, we're growing our economy for real, not just sitting around at bars asking each other trivia.
Yeah, they still have to kick back every once in a while and relax.
Well, congratulations to Adrian and Christian, or Chastity. Adam and Charity. A hearty and sincere congratulations to them, and thank you to all the teams that came out to play No Nonsense Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming events include No Nonsense Trivia Challenge, Monday, August 13th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida, a special two-hour edition of No Nonsense Wednesday, August 15th at Bury Me Brewing Company, and Thursday, August 16th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. All the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win various prizes, including gift cards to those locations. Join us, won't you?
And I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and throw down the gauntlet again. That Monday night, you can play against the team that I play with, the Wet Boys.
Who are on a three-win streak,
at
least.
And Seth,
yes.
Who is a multi-time winner at this point. You can come and you can play against us and test your mettle.
See if you can take that crown.
The more competition, the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a short break, followed by some trivia in round number one. And we're back in round number one.
I won't use shit headphones.
Obviously. Damn. Mark is freestyling right now.
Guys, I almost said
free balling, but that's different.
Free
yeah, phoning. That's very different.
You're free
earing. I have clipped the headphone cable. Ball and chain.
He wants to just increase the distance between us, auditorily speaking.
My ears have never felt so free. I feel like a new man.
Okay, well, you look unprofessional. Good. You know, it's all about
that's
the aesthetic,
even
really.
That's,
you know,
that's even
that's
better.
That's the only reason we wear these headphones.
I want to look as unprofessional as possible.
Look pedestrian.
All right, are we ready to do this? So, we're going to have Seth aid whoever is asked a question.
He's on my side right now.
He is on your side
I'm
right now.
I'm going to all-time QB on this one.
Exactly, absolutely.
Are you ready, Seth?
I'm ready.
Thanks for your help. Advance. I don't know. You said you've listened to the podcast. I get a lot of these wrong. I could use a little help.
We're not all batting 500.
Yeah.
But together, maybe you can bat 1,000.
Maybe.
Two 500s.
Is this a baseball question?
No. I could find one, though.
No.
Please, no.
Okay. Let's start off relatively easy. First question. How many U.S. states border Mexico?
Okay. We're both counting on our fingers right here.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy, I think.
Ooh. Ooh, I got caught up at the Gulf region. I don't know which one is the most east. My guess is four. Is that wrong?
I would say that it would be Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California, so you'd be correct.
Yes, yeah.
That is correct, four.
All right.
There you go.
Oh, man, this geography, you know, it's just, you get the fear when you're being asked the question. First, you've got the question to deal with, And then you have the fear of being called out for being stupid.
Right.
You know,
gotcha.
Ever present, basically.
Right. Because you get so cocksure, yeah. You're just like, easy. And then you overlook something.
Right.
Right.
And the best thing is that the four states that Seth named are not the four states I was thinking of.
Oh, really?
So it's total luck.
What states were you thinking?
Utah, Nevada. Those are a little bit more north, I guess, though.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
There's a state underneath those.
Yes.
But I ain't never been out there. All right.
Well, there's a map, though. It's what always like trips me out when people say, mm-hmm. When people say, what are your favorite band? You say the Beatles, and you go, well, the Beatles were around before you. And it's like, yeah, they made these things called records. And so I can listen to them even though it's not that time. I can still like stuff from before I was born.
Are you sure that's legal?
It won't be.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know about the future.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go, in order of the easiest to the hardest. So I selected questions. You guys were both at my Monday night game at Three Pepper. So these questions come from my Wednesday night Bury Me game, Bury Me Brewing Company, and Thursday night number three game.
How insane is it to come up with that many questions a week? Because I just do.
It's terrible.
Yeah, you're doing like maybe 50, 60
questions.
Yeah,
I do. I have to do 18 questions a week. Maybe I'll do one or two extra in case someone blurts out an answer like a drunk asshole.
Right.
I cannot imagine. You do what, like 50-something questions?
I do about 30 on Wednesdays and then 20, so about 70 questions a week.
That
total
is insane.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I've had people come up and ask me, hey, do you want to do trivia here? Do you want to do trivia? I'm just like, no.
Right.
It no, sounds I like don't. You have to dedicate an entire workday to questions.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I have a repository. So what I do is I chunk it. I'll do more than 70 questions.
You stick these questions up your asshole?
Yes. That's how they become power questions.
Lovely.
Power questions. Any questions I ask, I know.
Put some that's
an Upright Citizens Brigade reference there with okay. Ass pennies. Look up that sketch.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Ass Pennies.
Absolutely.
This guy shoves pennies up his ass and then gives it away as change. And he just knows that, you know, chances are he's been doing this for 20 years. If you've got any change in your pockets, you're holding his ass pennies and that gives him the upper hand.
Absolutely. It's a good way to look at life.
All right. But these are not asked questions.
Okay.
But this one is the easiest I asked this week.
So you claim.
Question number one. What ancient Hindu's text's name translates to the binding thread of desire? What ancient Hindu's text's name, I'm sorry, Hindu text's name translates to the binding thread of desire?
Hindu text. What ancient Hindu text?
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead?
No, I'll let you.
I have two ideas that it could be, but I'm not 100% sure.
What do you think?
Only because it's the title of a Steely Dan song, Bodhisattva. But I'm probably wrong.
No, it's easy. So what text do the Hindus see?
Oh, the Vedic texts? Is that it?
No.
Maybe? No, I'm probably wrong on that one, too.
Binding thread of desire.
Of desire.
Is the translation.
I mean, I know I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to be like, I'm a fucking dum-dum. So, yeah, I mean, Hindu text, like, I'm trying to think of like what their like big book is. There's like the Torah and the Bible and then some shit. And I sound like a dum-dum. Yeah, like that.
These are the big four and we don't know the book of one of the big four.
So right.
We're lacking.
I'm like Siddhartha. Like,
It's nothing you've said so far.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Because all of those are other religions. But then there's one.
Oh, what Seth mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's not that either.
I don't know any of that
shit. I didn't think it was. I'm just shot in the dark.
Boy, oh boy. Hindus. If I was a Hindu, I would read the... not the Quran.
No.
I'll give you another hint. If you were to... This is related. If you were to go to a hospital and they were to use a binding thread on you, that would be called a...
Stitch.
Or another word for it.
Sutra.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what do we got here?
The
Kama Sutra?
Yes, the Kama Sutra, the binding thread of Kama, desire.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
There well, it is. Okay.
Well, you kind of gave that one away a bit.
Text, a little bit. Thank you. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you know, hey, I'll so take I don't look it. Like a complete dum-dum. So.
I'll take the help. Normally, yeah. I won't.
Right.
How many people, you know, a lot of people got that right.
Most people got that right.
So many people, I think, are eager just to say Kama Sutra in relation to anything Hindu.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those people were just like, this is going to be funny. And then they got it right and they're like, holy shit.
Right.
Because I don't know what else to put.
Yeah.
All right. For question number two.
Yes.
What film featured Heath Ledger's final acting appearance?
I believe I do know this.
Would it be Dark Knight?
It's not.
It's not.
Okay. It's not. It is a movie that I did not see, but I know that he acted. He might have died during production, because I think that I know that they hired a bunch of other actors to come in and play the same role, and they adjusted the story a little bit. And it would be the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's it.
I remember that story breaking. It's like, we're going to get Johnny Depp and some other people. I can't remember who exactly. Maybe Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, they got like a whole... Yeah, I can't remember exactly who, but they got a
Michael
whole mess Caine? Of people.
Michael Caine? I don't know. He's in everything that Heath Ledger isn't. No, I'm just kidding. Just The Dark Knight, actually. Okay, yeah. Nice try. Nice yeah. try. I got that one, though.
Gotcha.
Yep. Thanks for nothing, Seth, on that.
You're right. Falling short.
Well, here is your guys' second question. Seth's back on the other team again. And this is a medium difficulty. Okay. I would say this is a current event science question, but you might be able to reason it out. So give yourself some time to go to the dark place.
Science question.
Yes. Using data on ancient weather conditions from a 2011 study published in the journal Science, researchers in Canada claim that more often than not, what weather phenomenon's presence would increase the likelihood of a Roman emperor being assassinated? So over 500-year period, 20 out of 82 Roman emperors were assassinated. And looking at the weather, more often than not, there's a certain weather phenomenon that precedes this. It's not responsible. Obviously, there's, you know, other political things going on and stuff like that. But coincidentally, this weather phenomenon aligns up with these Roman emperor assassinations.
Well, the only weather phenomenon that I'm really familiar with, I mean, outside of your typical disastrous events like hurricanes, and is El Nino, which of course Chris Farley let us know was Spanish for
the Nino.
Well, you're talking about any kind of weather, so rain, snow,
any
sleet,
any kind.
What was it, rainy when Caesar died on the Ides of March? Was it a sunny day? I don't remember.
I don't know either. I wasn't there.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Stop lying. You were right there. You were right behind Brutus.
Et tu, Mark Davis. Well, I mean, I would say for some reason rain seems like...
I don't think it would be snow.
No.
Let's call it an extreme weather phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon.
It's not like just regular weather. It's something.
Okay. Well, I asked about regular weather and you're like, yeah.
Right.
But now you're saying no.
I'm going to double down
on
El Nino.
You said a lot of things that I agreed to.
I'm totally going to double down on El Nino. That's what I think it is.
All right. Fuck it. We'll go with El Nino.
It is the opposite of El Nino. It's a drought.
A drought.
Low rainfall.
Okay.
So when you said rain, I was like, it's related to that. Yeah, sure. You know, but drought. You know, think about it. Like, you know, it stops raining. The crops don't grow. The soldiers don't get fed, which causes a mutiny. Bing, bang, boom.
Next thing you know.
You're dead. You ran Rome and now you're dead.
Okay.
You're crossing the Rubicon.
Bye-bye.
Dying not long after.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go ahead with your third question.
Alrighty.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Seth, are you ready?
I'm totally on point.
Let's do it.
What are the four railroads in Monopoly? What are the four railroads?
Well, I know, I'm just going to list the ones I know off the top of my head. We got B&O. We've got the Reading. We've got...
Atlantic.
Thank you for the whisper.
Why am I whispering? I don't know.
You got the mic. Atlantic.
I Mark can't
Atlantic.
Know.
Railroad. Wait, no. Atlantic. Is Atlantic the railroad? Are you sure that's not a property?
No, I think it's a railroad. Well, there is an Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah.
But isn't there an Atlantic Railroad? I can't remember.
It's
I'm not
so
a Monopoly.
Long
yeah,
since
it's
I
been
played
a long time.
Monopoly.
Atlantic. You kind of sounded so sure at first.
Well, he is right about the first two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
B&O, Reading.
Reading. I'm going to say Atlantic and Pacific because I don't know the other two.
I feel like I would know it if it were just the oceans. Like that would be like a factoid, you know, a hack to remember those. B&O, Reading.
You have those two correct.
Right,
I'll tell you that.
Right aboard the... I'm trying to think of what the chance cards say and stuff. Step aboard.
Is it like Flagler or something?
No. Oh, damn. Damn, I'm letting myself down here. I feel like I should know this.
One of them is named after a state.
Oh, yes.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And do you regret giving us that hint?
You still got one more, motherfucker.
Damn it.
I don't know the last one.
Railroad.
Incorrect.
All right, what is it?
Short line.
What?
I wouldn't have got that.
Reading Railroad, Pennsylvania.
This is a
Railroad.
Mandela effect thing for me.
B&O,
Short Line Railroad?
B&O, which stands
Berenstein
for Baltimore
Bears?
And Ohio, which I did not know.
Oh, okay.
And which is a city and a state, which is kind of weird. And Short Line.
Short Line.
Shortened form of Shore Fast Line.
Okay. All
which right. I also didn't know.
Word. Good to know.
There you go. Here's a
I
little,
should play Monopoly again soon. I guess that's what that tells me.
I hate Monopoly.
No, you're not
so
down?
Much. Hate Monopoly. Like, with an unbridled fucking passion. I thought about buying the Fort Myers one because it seems neat. That seems like something you'd be into.
Well, not really. You
no?
Know,
okay, well, fuck me,
I don't have a lot of time for board games anymore.
Well, it's just neat. Seth, you give tours.
I do.
Of downtown Fort Myers... and that area, and you are very knowledgeable about Fort Myers history. I don't know if you saw the Fort Myers little hometown love, the Fort Myers version of Monopoly that they sold that has a bunch of Fort Myers places. So I thought that would be near and dear to your heart.
It would be near and dear to my heart, letting just kind of not having a lot of cash to spend, you know, disposable money to go out and buy, you know, board games at the moment, and... I'm already so familiar with Fort Myers, so to speak. It's my hometown. I do give out tours on Thursday nights and Saturday mornings on the corner of First and Broadway for a company called True Tours, and it's something that's kind of, well, it kind of came second nature since I grew up, you know, in that area, and I'm very, very attached. You know, I have ancestors from the area, and it's a big part of who I am, downtown Fort Myers. But no... not going to run out and spend any money. I did see it, however, know, on a board game, especially one that so blatantly promotes capitalism.
Absolutely.
Know, just
well, sorry to whoever leached off of Fort Myers and Monopoly and combined those two ideas together. We will not be buying your game.
Damn you.
Yeah. All right, here's my third and final question.
All right.
For you. Iguanas, koalas, and Komodo dragons.
Fuck all three.
All uncommonly have two of what?
Oh, I want to say dicks.
I want to say
iguanas,
testicles.
Koalas, and Komodo dragons, all uncommonly, Seth. Those come in pairs, usually.
That's right.
They have two of what?
Uncommonly have two. Uncommonly compared to what? I guess most animals have.
Yes, most creatures.
Maybe it is dicks.
I mean, it's got to be dicks, dude. Come on.
It's not hearts.
It's not. Ooh,
it's not.
No. Can't fit two little hearts. And that little bad boy, little iguana, maybe two hearts.
Two of hearts.
I mean, I guess it could have two hearts, but
octopuses
I want to say dicks
have
so
three,
bad.
You know, so I would think maybe you'd be able to fit all sorts of little organs.
I mean, they could have like two livers. What else do most people only have one of? Well, I guess it also could be two.
Livers is a good, I think, answer.
Two knees.
What?
They can drink a lot. They got two livers.
They can genuflect better than other animals.
But at the end of the day, Seth, I want to say dicks.
We're both going to go with dicks, Lee.
You guys are right.
Yes.
It is dicks. Two dicks.
And no one else got that, huh? Everybody's too scared to say dicks. Yep. But we're not too scared.
Wish yes. I could high five you right now.
Yeah, I wish you were closer.
I actually did. I'm witnessing this air high five right now. I did have an opportunity to ask this at both my Wednesday and Thursday night games, and no team got it right between both nights, but there was at least two people at each one that said, I said dicks.
Yes.
I said it.
That is my favorite. Also, my favorite is when people moan and groan because a question is hard or moan and groan because they knew it. You knew what the deal was.
Wow.
You knew, Seth.
Never invited back. Never invited back again.
I just
now
shit
we're going to have
bed.
To put a licensing on that.
I just shit the podcast
tone.
Bed.
Oh. We're going to have to license that track now.
Someone call ASCAP.
Yep. That was ASCAP calling. I thought Neil made one dick. I don't know. I'm just listening. Okay. Anyway, that is the third question.
All right.
And you're all
so
wrapped
glad.
Up right there, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to take a short break, and we will be back in round two with some misconnections.
We'll be back in
two shakes of a dick.
Two shakes of an iguana's dick.
Back before we get into round two, though, it's time for some missed corrections.
Missed corrections.
All right, we had a missed correction come to us via Facebook comment regarding the segment about endometriosis in the last episode.
And the endometrium.
Yes.
Writ large.
The comment comes from one of our listeners, Taylor. It says, I know y'all weren't trying to be transphobic or racing, but there are men with uteruses and women without. Organs and body parts aren't gender specific, and you can't assume someone's gender based on what body parts or organs they may or may not have. So that was my bad. I did ask if it was specifically a gendered organ, and that's probably where I made a misstep. So Taylor, thanks for the clarification on that. It probably won't be the last time I say something idiotic. So if you hear something, just write it in. You know, we'll definitely try to clarify and address it on the next episode.
We don't think you're dumb, Lee.
Well, there's part of this podcast where it's like, yeah, you know, I'm an idiot. You know, it's very humbling when you don't know the answer to a question. But that was just like a misstep in logic on my part.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
totally different, but also deserving of a correction. Both corrections are good. Send us in any feedback that you have on the show. And yeah, sorry about that.
I also had a friend of mine, TJ, who I previously spoke about, who met his wife and hit on her while playing Trivial Pursuit.
Right, I remember.
Yes,
he locked that shit in over some trivia.
He did. If I get it right, I get to kiss you. If you get it wrong, you get kiss me.
Kiss.
Who let me know that Spud McKenzie's real name was Honey Tree Evil Eye.
What the really? Fuck?
That's a little rascal's dog?
No.
Spuds McKenzie was the mascot for Bud Light.
Bud Light.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you ask me about that?
No, he just gave me that information.
Oh, okay.
He's been letting me know what he likes and what he doesn't like. And he's also been giving me like, see, as even as difficult as I make my trivia, mm-hmm. I also hit up some stuff where I'm like, this is just too, like, no one would know that.
Hardball.
Right. Like, being you in the side, hardball. So he's been giving me these little pieces of information.
I gotcha.
And what was the one you did the other night? 21 states that...
How many states have Walmart as their primary employer?
Oh, I tried not to groan out loud at that one. I was like, how the fuck is...
And that's what I'm saying. When I hear that groaning, it gets me hard. Yeah. Like, hearing people, like, go, oh, no. I'm like, yes, feed me.
Okay, let's go ahead and get on with our questions here. The first question that I have for you guys is an arts and literature question.
Ooh, A&L.
Mostly visual nice. Arts here, though.
Okay. VA.
In popular art, what breed of dog is often depicted carrying kegs of brandy to serve humans in distress, illustrating a practice that never actually occurs or occurred in real life? This never happened. It is only a meme that occurred in art. around the turn of the century.
So
that would be an awfully early meme, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because that's been around for ages and ages.
Ye olde meme.
Ye olde meme.
Back in the days of meme.
Is it actually pronounced... I know we pronounce it meme, and I always heard that it's pronounced meme.
Mm-hmm.
But is it supposed to be pronounced another way?
No, it's meme. I believe Richard Dawkins coined that term, and I think it's... Is it a title of a book? He pronounces it meme, though.
Okay.
When I first read it online, I was like, oh, that's meme-y.
That's what I said for years.
Someone had said... I can't remember where it was, but I swear I heard somewhere that someone said it's like short for like... memography or something like that, and actually should be pronounced mem, but they maybe I don't remember it right, maybe they're just wrong, it doesn't matter.
Well, somebody correct us on that. Write us in, give us a reason.
Seth, I'm thinking Saint Bernard.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, Saint Bernard.
Yes, accurate. Right. Yep. And I had one team right, Burmese Mountain Dog, and I had to look up what those look like, and I'm like, man, that looks exactly like a Saint Bernard. I don't really feel like I can...
I believe Bernese mountain dogs are darker colored, mm-hmm. but look like, you know, same physically the same thing, same hair. Mm-hmm. But typically, I think Saint Bernards are like brown and white,
right?
You know, broken colors. It's Saint Bernard. I mean, that's been around for ages. I think there were cartoons, you know, Merry Melodies cartoons featured a Saint Bernard running around, you know, trying to, I think, like give Daffy Duck brandy or like fixing one for themselves in the episode. But
yeah, I actually did know this before I came across this trivia factoid, and there was a story. I can't remember what it is exactly though, but it was maybe an advertisement for brandy or something that first did it, you know, and then it just caught on as an image, and then Looney Tunes popularized it.
The idea of a dog bringing you alcohol, I think, resonates through the ages. So.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah.
It speaks to me. All right, so this may be an easy one. Seth, I know you're brought up with a Christian upbringing. I love asking.
And I brought up Jewish, so this will be very difficult for me.
Oh, my God.
I love...
mean, about it being difficult.
I love asking religion questions because so many people do not know them. And since you asked a question about the Kama Sutra,
mm-hmm.
this is just your comeuppance.
All right.
In the Christian Bible, Cain and Abel are the first children of Adam and Eve. What was their third son named?
Okay. This is comforting to know that Seth is having to go to the dark place on this. Cain, Abel, and Dwight. No. I feel like at a point I knew this as well. Man, it's hard being a middle child. Everybody forgets you.
You are too?
I don't know.
You're a middle child?
No. I'm just making a joke about whoever this person is.
It would be the
is.
Youngest child.
Oh, okay.
Their third son. Well, I don't know how many. I mean, I don't know how many kids they had, but
okay.
At the time, they're third.
I thought you just meant third, as in Cain, everybody knows one and two.
Yeah,
but then there's a third. But this is actually in the timeline. He's the youngest.
After Cain and Abel,
yeah.
Then he was born.
Gotcha.
Third son. they were just popping out boys like crazy.
Who is it?
That is the question.
Cain, Abel,
and
the Undertaker.
It was Bane.
Seth, I thought you were going to come right out with this.
No, I was going to give him a chance to see if he knows it.
Oh, so you know it?
Oh, man. Well, my hardcore Christian upbringing would tell me that Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 through 9 would let me know that Seth was, in fact, the third
that's
son.
Correct. Seth.
Yes.
That's wow.
correct. Yes. I was like...
It's not fair. It's not... You wouldn't have known that I come from a family that, you know... I mean, my brothers were Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know,
I see.
The Gospels, pretty much. And then Seth, you know, and I was, you know...
Your namesake.
I was immersed in all of this, in Bible culture.
Gotcha.
As a child, so.
Well, Seth, thank you for being our Seth today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And being on the podcast.
Thank you for being our third child.
I'm glad. And I am sort of a middle child, so it fits. I'm glad I'm somebody, Seth.
All right. I have a history question for you guys. History of
Love
taverns.
History
American taverns.
American tavern!
Right?
It's just stay away, yay.
All right, here it is. Question number two. I just did the little last part of that guitar part. The White Horse Tavern was built in 1692 and is presumed to be America's oldest tavern and exists in what state? The last state to be added to the Union among the original 13 colonies.
Oh, man.
What state?
That last part really chaps my ass.
That, yeah, me too. Definitely.
Because I originally
it might be a lot to expect people to guess where it is without any hint. But I wanted to give something.
Wait, what?
Well, I'm saying, you know, that last part's a hint.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks.
What's the last part? Can you repeat it?
Yeah. What state does the White Horse Tavern exist in? It's also the last state to be added to the Union among the original 13 colonies.
Here's a question. What the fuck are the original 13 colonies?
I can do those.
Can you?
Yeah, I can do Virginia, Delaware. That's the first. Was the first state. Virginia, Delaware, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Maine, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia.
That's 13.
That's 13. That's it.
Georgia was one of the original 13
Georgia
colonies?
Was an originally 13, yeah.
Are you sure that Georgia wasn't the first to be legally...
No, it's on their license plate. The first state is Delaware. The very first. That's
well,
on their
I don't doubt
plate,
that, but Georgia being one of the first 13 colonies sounds...
Oh, it is. Yeah, it definitely is.
Are you fact-checking?
I think Georgia was the first state to be ratified by the Constitution.
We're fact-checking here.
How exciting for the listener. Well,
but
you
as
know,
far as the White Horse...
As far as the last one to be taken in...
You're right, it's Delaware. My bad. I think I've asked this question wrong, and Georgia was the answer that I think I...
Oopsie-daisy.
If you came to my 4th of July trivia at Bury Me Brewing Company this year, it's actually Delaware was the first to be ratified by the Constitution, not Georgia. That's weird, because I read that fact, and then I found supporting evidence elsewhere. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that requires some more research.
Well, it
anyway.
Used to be on their license plate. It said Delaware, the first state.
Okay.
Gotcha. The last one, the last of the original 13 colonies.
You're just looking up the answer.
Yeah, you're just flat out. You're
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
That was the hint.
That would give you the answer.
I'm thinking. I'm not asking my fucking phone.
You were staring at your phone when you said that.
I thought you were asking Siri.
No, I'm thinking.
Might have to deduct points.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I'm inclined to think that Georgia was probably one of the last one.
I'm not.
No?
No, I think that it might have been one that you'd be surprised about, like maybe Rhode Island or Connecticut or something like that. One that you wouldn't expect. I'm going to go with... my guess is going to be Rhode Island, but I'm probably wrong.
Mark?
All right, I'll go with Rhode Island.
You guys are right. It's Rhode Island.
Nice.
Good job. You guys can see now, who's listening, this is why Seth provides such a challenge to the white boys when he shows up. Come out here and match them. This is the call.
Show up.
This is the call. All right.
You won't.
I'm going to want another question from you.
I have faith in you.
Good. I'm glad you do, because you're going to get one, whether you like it or not. Here you are. What president repealed prohibition? What president repealed?
Who was Mr. Good Guy?
Prohibition.
Yeah. Who was most people I grew up with's favorite president?
Who was the one that realized this is already fucking going on?
I think I have a pretty good idea of who it is.
Is it FDR?
I'm pretty sure it's FDR.
I'd say we should go with that.
It's either him or Herbert Hoover, but I'm feeling a little more confident with Mr. Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah.
The Democrat.
Add another notch to his victory scratchings.
Yeah.
You're correct. Notch away. It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Thank you, good sir.
Thank you, young Lee.
Mr. FDR and Mr. Seth. All right. My third question for you guys has to do with old school country.
Oh, yes.
Thank Christ.
So,
yes.
Now, nobody got this when I asked it.
Yeah, well, they didn't have Seth on their team.
If you guys... Yeah, I'm interested to see how you guys perform. We got two guys who
fucking
here.
Mainlined cocaine and rhinestones.
Yep.
And Seth, who was brought up in a largely country... Seth's father won a Grammy. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
For, it was the best in 2003 or 4. I can't remember anymore because it was a while ago.
I can't believe it was
the
so
best
long.
Country gospel record in that year. He went when they announced the nominations. My grandfather was still alive, who was kind of, you know, losing it at the time. And I walked into my parents' house one day. He looks at me and goes, "Grandpa, your father was nominated for a Grammy today." And I said, "You know, I can't believe it. You know,
whatever.
He's lost it." But then,
all right, Gramps, thanks. Go back to sleep.
Later on that day, that it was right, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe this." And his competition was the Charlie
Snoop Dogg.
No. Yes, it was a Snoop Dogg, Dre, and
all the time.
Well, Snoop Dogg just came out with a gospel record, which is why I mentioned
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ,
you're joking?
No. It performed well too on the charts.
It's
oh my
real?
God!
Yeah. Yep.
My daddy's got some competition.
No, his competition though was
The Charlie Daniels Band, the Bill Gaither Vocal Band, and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh boy!
Yeah, which if you know anything about country gospel, like country music, you
one
know
one of
those
threes
are...
is gonna beat my dad. I mean, it's just that simple. And then I it was not long after I met Jennifer. I came home one night, sat down, got myself a cold beverage, turned on the Grammys, not thinking that I would ever hear my dad's name. And they said in an earlier ceremony, for Best Country Gospel Record, they call him Mr. Country Music, a tribute to James Blackwood featuring Larry Ford. And boom. I looked at my wife and I tried to call my parents. This was back when landlines were prominent, and I couldn't get a hold of them all day, all night long, because I couldn't believe it. But
wow.
That was, I once touched a dead body when I was like 13. And
what
you know,
a segue.
It's kind of all gone downhill, except for that moment when my dad won a Grammy. So.
We'll have to ask about that before the last question. That was incredible.
I don't know if we're ever going to have a better quote on this show than that. What the hell? Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get in touch with my parents. And you. I touched a dead body when I was 13. But anyway. Oh, God.
So, yeah,
that's
there
amazing.
Were a couple. I peeked twice. You know, once through my dad and once through the corpse, so.
Well, and once when you had your daughter.
Well, there's some things that, you know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Those are just those a given. Are,
like an orgasm.
Yeah, exactly. It can't be the day
you're
talking
about an
born.
Orgasm, though.
Well, would you like to repeat that later on tonight?
Because that's when you peak.
Question number 3.
You've been there before.
Go ahead. Wait, I don't know what the hell's going on in this podcast anymore. All right. Here we go. Question 3.
Is it my turn or your turn?
No, I was going to ask you the question about the country music. And, then we got off in the story time.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, let's go.
What country music legend is the only entertainer to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for all 5 categories, earning the first 4 for radio, recording, motion pictures, and television on February 9th, 1950, and the 5th for live performance on April 5th, 1987, after the addition of the category? What country music legend is the only entertainer to have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame for all 5 categories?
And what are the categories again?
Radio.
Radio.
Recording.
Recording.
Motion pictures.
Movies.
Television.
TV. The silver screen.
And live performance.
Do you have a guess?
Live performance in 87.
I don't think he was alive when that 87 category.
Your dad? The guy... Is it your dad?
No.
Oh, okay. My dad probably was alive in 87, considering he's still alive today.
Oh, I was just commenting on the accolades here.
Oh, no, I'm the person...
What other secrets do you have buried
Who are
in your
you thinking?
Head?
Who am I thinking? Yeah. My guess is going to be Red Foley. Because he, you know, fit every one of those categories, except I'm not sure about movies.
I think... That's too hard. I don't think Lee would have an answer that difficult.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm wrong.
I'm thinking like Elvis.
Elvis.
But Elvis was dead before 87, wasn't he?
I don't know if it would, if he would qualify. Let's see. For all of those categories, who was in the movies?
He was. I don't know if he was in
music.
I don't know if he was really on TV. Wait, who...
The reason I'm thinking Red Foley and he would have been inducted, even though I'm wrong, is because he did do all of those things except for movies.
Yeah. Who was it that... On Cocaine and Rhinestones, who had their own TV show that they were talking about?
Well, there's Buck Owens. Buck had Owens. His own, but
when did Buck Owens die?
Not until like 2002 or 3 or 4.
Buck Owens
like that.
Did movies.
He did movies. Not? He did recordings. He would be alive in 1987. I think that's the smart answer.
Yeah, let's go with Buck Owens.
Yeah. We're wrong.
It's not Buck Owens.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm going to give you one more hint, Mark. Okay. So you can try and salvage this.
This disaster.
You've drummed with a band that has a song named after this person.
I've drummed with a band that has a song named after this person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! It's Gene Autry.
It is Gene Autry. It is Gene Autry.
Gene Autry. Fuck
hell.
Beulah, right?
Yeah.
Beulah.
The great band Beulah has a song named Gene Autry.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
That is outrageous. Yeah, Gene Autry. That's totally the... Like,
movies should have given that away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't sure about Buck Owens in movies, but yeah.
Those were good guesses.
Thanks. I felt like we did a good job. Like, I don't feel like we let ourselves down.
Trying to construct an
until
answer.
You got it wrong.
No. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so do you got one more for me? Is that right?
I believe I do.
Okay. Me and Seth.
All right.
Down by the schoolyard.
Let's go with this. What multinational technology company used the motto, "Be what's next"? What multinational technology company used the motto, "Be what's next"?
Be what's next. Well, Steve Jobs had a brief period where he left Apple and worked for a company called Next Computers. And that would be a good tagline for them.
God, that I think that's as good as answer as any.
Are they... I don't know if they were multinational or not. Also the internet, the World Wide Web, was first created by Tim Berners-Lee on a Next computer.
That's correct.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember you asking a question about Mr. Berners-Lee on Monday night.
Yes. Yeah. That was a difficult one.
It was.
Nobody got that one right. But Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web.
We wrote down HTTP.
Right. I wrote down .com.
So he took HTTP, and this is actually a quote. He's like, I just took HTTP and DNS and put them together and made a web page.
Ta-da.
Which, you know, I don't exactly know how that works, but it sounds pretty cool.
Next have been multinational?
Yeah, that I don't know.
But I think that's as good as answer as any.
What's next? That doesn't sound like a Microsoft thing. It sounds vaguely Apple-like, but I'm going to go with Next Computers. I think that's where we should go. What do we got?
Do you agree?
I agree.
Much like a flaccid penis.
This doesn't bode well.
No. It is Microsoft.
No. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Interesting.
Microsoft.
I wonder if that was in retaliation against Next. Team. Like, we're going to take your name and put it in our tagline.
And you can, frankly, go and fuck yourself.
Yeah. I just never knew that Microsoft had a motto or a tagline, you know.
Yeah, they've had a number of them over the years, but that was one of them.
Mm. Microsoft. That's pretty good.
Flaccid.
All right, I believe that's our three questions each for round number two.
It is, so now, can I do an outro?
It's not the outro.
Not the outro, but can I? I mean, it's an outro to the third segment.
Oh, of course, Mark.
May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we'll be back with our third segment and our last question after this break. That's fun.
That was great.
Thanks. We're back.
We are back. Yeah, you got the outro and the intro on that one.
You son of a bitch.
No, go ahead and take it. What are we doing, Mark? What are we doing here?
We want to say thank you again to Seth for sitting in with us.
Yes, we do.
Hanging Thanks out so as much we approach fun. Our last question.
Yeah, we're actually going to do something special here. We're going to have Seth ask us a question, too, at the end.
We are, and we're also going to talk about how Seth thinks what is a very important topic to discuss in trivia.
I would definitely have to say that I agree with Mark from an earlier podcast when he had mentioned current Ooh, events. I believe so that they are very, very important in trivia. The reason why is that, you know, sometimes the trivia that's presented to audiences can sometimes be daunting. You know, a synonym for trivia is minutia, and there's so much of it in this world. And by doing current events, you can keep the audience dialed in to the game by relating it to what's happening in the world around them. And a lot of people, you know, they soak up information from, you know, newspapers, the internet, not so much printed newspapers anymore, but the news. And by doing current events, it definitely keeps audiences engaged, I think. I think that, you know, that keeping that it also helps keep people abreast of what's going on, you know, in the world. I think
whether
that's
they
important.
Like it or not, yes. You know,
I can totally understand that. I can respect that.
Yeah.
By the same token, you can also just ask easy trivia, easy minutia. You know, if you're fearing that it's getting too difficult, but I get it. I understand. You know, the idea of like kind of tying in, you know, modern times. So you're not going into some like, is this trivia from 1996? Like, is it the most recent thing we got going on in here?
Yeah.
You know, it kind of, especially for a younger crowd.
I just think of it as
because they haven't had time to soak up all that old minutia.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think of it as using your powers for good. And like I was saying before, kind of how you have like a sports guy and a movie guy, you know, a movie, mm-hmm. a sports person or a movie person.
Yes.
Any of which who can have a uterus, by the way.
That can have endometriosis.
Which can suffer endometriosis and the terrible pain that comes with it. I think that it will hopefully, if you do it enough, will make people try and keep up with current events and kind of like veer them on the path of paying attention to what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, so that's Mark's strategy. Thing. For me, you don't know what you're going to get. I'm keeping you on your toes. See? All right. Let's go ahead and get into these final questions.
Am again. I doing you first?
Yes.
You want me to do you?
Do it,
you?
Baby.
I'm going to do the both of you.
Yes.
Do
us. Seth and
Here's
I
your last question. By
one.
The way, none of my questions are from Monday or from last night because Seth was at my trivia. So I dug deep in the depths of past questions that I've asked because I keep all of my questions.
Yeah.
Because I'm nuts like that. So here's my last question. Which singer's epitaph is true to his own spirit? Which singer's epitaph is the quote true to his own spirit?
I've got two ideas that are popping up in my head. Do you have any?
I had one pop up definitely very quickly.
All right, one of mine is Jim Morrison. What do you think? Where were you going?
I would think that his epitaph would be a little more abstract than that. That's just Jim Morrison. You know, he wasn't, you know, I don't see him being kind of a straight shooter. And that seems to be a very succinct statement, you know, true to his own spirit. So I would discount Jim Morrison.
I was thinking that somebody else wrote that about him, maybe, you know.
But maybe. That's a good point.
But, I did have another idea, too. But who were you going with?
I'm thinking because he did it his way, it would be Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
That's what I would think.
You don't think they would just go with the my way directly? If that was the case?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it is true now that you point out that you don't write your own epitaph. Maybe it could have been, you know, Jim Morrison. But the first one that popped up in my mind, you know, probably relating it to my way, is just Frank Sinatra. Mm. And that's what I'm going to go with.
You said singer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So my other idea that popped in my head for some reason was Freddie Mercury.
That's a damn good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Can I switch?
Yeah, well, what do you want to do? We're going to confer here. Yeah. We're going to confer.
No one has given a final answer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Freddie Mercury.
Let's go with Freddie Mercury.
I'm going to, yeah.
The correct answer is...
not Freddie Mercury.
Or Frank Sinatra.
Jim Morrison.
Oh my God!
And what joy to hear you guys. Man, one of my questions last week.
I hate you, Seth.
One of my questions last week.
Just pile it on, buddy.
I saw someone write down the right answer, and it was scribbled out, and someone wrote the other answer. And I'll tell you, man, that kind of shit, I love because I can relate to it. You know, where someone's just like, I think it's this, write it down. And someone's like, no, man. But, like, hearing you guys, this is the thing I love about this podcast and the conversations that it's made me have with other people. Someone that we have not brought up yet, but Gil, who has been listening to us over in Melbourne.
Yes, big supporter. Melbourne, thanks, Florida. Gil, for
thank
all
you
the
very
links
much. Yeah, absolutely.
And everything. Thank you.
And he wrote something like, I've never yelled out cream. So I never thought I'd yell out the word cream in my car so loud.
Right.
And there was another question that I was fucking up. And he was just like screaming these answers. Like, come on, man. Like, it's just so interesting to see. You know, kind of like what we had talked about, where, like, to me, the interest is knowing what other people know and the knowledge that they take for granted that I'm a complete dum-dum on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how quickly some people know stuff and,
right,
you know, that kind of information they consider, like, secondhand, like, no duh.
Right.
Other people are just like, I have no clue.
So. Right. So that's the, yeah, there's definitely an upside to the teamwork. But then you have what Seth and I just did.
Everything that you just said, Mark, did nothing to deter me from the stupidity that I feel for talking you out of Jim Morrison.
If Seth wasn't here, I would have said, Jim Morrison, probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would have been right.
But, I mean, it was
interesting
to me.
It's happened to me before at trivia, you know. It's happened to other people. I've talked people out of answers, correct answers, and there's not a lot you can do except just apologize and, I don't know.
Maybe you were at that trivia. Part of me believes that maybe you were at that trivia years ago.
The Jim Morrison one?
The Jim Morrison one, and you heard it, and it, like, just stuck in a craw in the corner of your mind. And you were just like, for some reason, I just want to say Jim Morrison just sounds good.
It could be, but also I did listen to a ton of Doors as a kid. I read Jim Morrison's biography, No One Gets Out of Here Alive.
I read that one too,
Yeah. So there are a couple avenues that could have buried itself.
I also called myself the Lizard King when I was in middle school.
I got dog tags made that said the Lizard King on it, t-shirts. Check out my awesome Lizard King back tattoo.
Didn't you go to Florida State?
I did.
Yes.
I did. And
there you go.
So did Jim Morrison.
So did he. He acted in a little short film while he was there, too. You can look up on YouTube about, like, safety belts or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
His safety was paramount in the life of Jim Morrison.
Do I have to buckle myself in? Father! Do I have to be in a real face and child seat? No bass.
No
begin
base.
Writhing. Begin the writhing. All right. Yeah. Here's my final question for
Jim,
you guys.
Jim, stop writhing in the back seat. I'll turn this car around if you don't start cutting yourself open with beer bottles and exposing yourself. All right.
This one's a little difficult, but I did have one team get it right. It was the final question. I decided for the final question last night that I wanted to give something really hard. And I was like, maybe somebody will get this. And one team came
hard.
Through. And it gave them the victory, too.
Will you give it to us hard?
I'm going to give it to you hard and firm.
Is it hot in here? What just happened?
A little warm.
Question number
Alexa,
final.
Set the temperature to 52 degrees. It's hot in here.
What
is... All right.
Here's the question. What is the linguistic term for when a speaker flips the first sound of two words to humorous effect?
Are you kidding me?
Such as the phrase, Po-Buddy's Nerficked, alternate timeline U.S. President Herbert Hoover, or George Carlin's sage advice, don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things.
Lee's partner is here. Hello, Kyle Ann. You can say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
That angelic voice. I will tell you, I want you to be present for me knowing this, because I feel like a big old brain man. Do you know this?
I don't. I kind of guess that it's maybe portmanteau, but I think I'm positively
portmanteau
wrong.
Portmanteau is not correct.
That is not correct.
I love the English language.
Mm-hmm.
A portmanteau is when they take two words and put them together, like brunch is a portmanteau. This, my friend, I love these, and I do them all the time, always in my head. This, Seth, this is called a spoonerism. This It's called a motherfucking Spoonerism. Tell me if I'm right.
Beautifully answered, Mark.
God damn it. Hell yeah. Spoonerism, baby.
Just boom. Boom. Fist boom. Bump.
Which is boom. Just a really fun thing to say.
Kiss coming in.
Nerds.
I thought that was gonna be a kiss. That was not a kiss.
That wasn't a kiss. That was a diss.
Hurt my damn feelings.
Thanks, baby.
Spoonerism.
Spoonerism is the answer.
Lee just got dunked
on. As soon as you said a speaker.
I'm glad you got it right.
I thought you were talking about like a boom boom speaker. And then, and then you said flips, and I was like, no fucking way. I spoonerism in my mind constantly. Constantly.
Dark Mavis.
The Cree Foasters. Dark Mavis.
Dark Mavis. Dark Mavis. Your old alias.
Every time I got drunk, I went from Mark Davis to Dark Mavis. And that was one of my early spoonerisms.
One time I said, I was trying to say exact replica, and I said exact leprechaun. Would that qualify?
No.
That's fucking up.
That's you having a mild stroke.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be intentional. I believe it has to be intentional.
It has to be intentional, yeah.
Okay.
Feth Sword.
Okay, there you go.
That's a spoonerism,
that's
baby.
It's got spoon all over it.
B. Lertschneider.
Lertschneider. Yeah. Don't call me by my spoonerist name.
All right, and now, Seth Ford is going to ask us a question.
Yes, indeed.
Throwing both of you into the category of history, my favorite.
Okay. My least favorite.
Well, here you go.
Perfect.
Operation What was the code name for the Axis invasion of the Soviet Union, which started in June of 1941 during World War II?
Operation What?
Operation What?
The Axis invasion of the Soviet territory?
Which ended up being a very bad idea.
Which means Germany invaded the Soviet Union. Right. Hitler decided to call this invasion Operation What?
Is it a German word?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay, so it's a word we'd know.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Well, for a history geek, this is not a softball, but one that I think that a lot of history people would know. But I'm...
Yeah. This is a high school history level question.
But I didn't
really pay attention a lot in high school. I was very proud of my own ignorance then, as I still am a little bit now, I guess. But
I feel like this is regrets. One that a lot of people would get at your history at your trivia nights.
Yeah.
I believe that I do.
And once again, I love that aspect is that at trivia I'm kind of seen as this intellectual god, and then we come here on the podcast and it's very obvious.
I think you've mentioned it before, but if I could make it again abundantly clear, Lee and I are not super knowledgeable about stuff, and that's one of the things I like about this is that it shows just how fucking dumb we are when it comes to some things.
Right
now, spoonerism, I know that
it is completely relative.
And what I mean, what would you say are some of your strong suits when you in your trivia?
History I'm real good at. Geography I excel. When it came to, I think you and I had to go head to head a couple of weeks ago at No Nonsense at Three Pepper, and he gave us the option of music, movies, and history, and of course you went for music, which we're both pretty good at and I'm comfortable with, but I said history because I felt like that was my strong point, and it wound up, colliding. He just went ahead and picked for us movies, which, modern movies, I'm not that good with.
But again,
classic movies, I am.
So well, that's the kind of interesting thing. It's movies, but it's also kind of history.
It is.
Because when you do old movies, you're kind of combining history to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a popular movie about this question?
Okay, no.
No. Well, yes.
There is?
To a degree. Yes. What's the name of it?
Furry.
It had...
Brad Bitt.
Brad Bitt.
Furry. Best job I ever had.
It was Bradolf Pittler.
Bradolf Pittler.
Playing the role.
That's amazing.
That's from Borat. I mean, not Borat, but Bruno. Gleaned it from there.
Gotcha.
But I just thought it was, relatable.
All right.
No.
So, the Axis powers.
They invaded.
They're invading
Soviet land.
The Soviet land.
1941. Hitler turned his back on the Soviet Union, the agreement that they had signed, and he decided to invade.
Hmm.
Almost got to Moscow.
And yeah, they fucked him in Stalingrad, did they not?
Stalingrad, no, that was kind of a winter thing that kind of took over there.
They surrounded him.
I'm sorry, Stalingrad, yes, and that's the movie that sort of relates to it, Enemy at the Gates.
That's when the guy has sex with a girl, but all the people are sleeping next to each other. It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're all trying to be quiet, but it's like all these like people one after the other. That's what I remember about that movie.
It's about the sniper Vasily Saitsev.
Yes. Yep.
But
is it Operation Soviet Are We There Yet?
Oh, stop it. Please quit it.
Operation It's Cold, Can This Be Over?
Let's call it. Okay. So he mentioned that they had made a promise with the USSR and they broke it. So let's, because Hitler was a cocky son of a bitch. Maybe it was something like Operation Friends Backstab. Oh. You know what I mean? Like Operation Fuck Off, something like that.
Yeah, Table Flip.
Yeah, Operation Ha Ha.
Nothing serious is coming to me right now.
Yeah, let's...
I'm hoping you're going to go, oh, I've heard that when I say it.
See, that's the thing. You're so immersed in stuff.
I'm throwing in my towel.
All right, yeah. I'll say Operation...
Wagering zero or one on this.
Yeah, I don't know. Operation Springtime. I don't know.
That's not, you know, far. Operation Barbarossa.
Barbarossa.
Barbarossa. That was what it was called. For World War II people, I think that's one that just, you know, immediately is one of the easiest. It was the one thing that most people could say really brought down. I know Ponderosa.
Tasty.
My love of steak brings me to Ponderosa.
There used to be one on Del Prado. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Shout out to any Ponderosas still open in this country.
It's Operation Barbarossa. I think, you know, World War II people, it would be a softball for them.
Operation Barbzilla.
All right. Operation Barbossa.
Barbossa. Okay.
Barbarossa.
Barbarossa. Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say I'll never forget that, but I already said it wrong. So, well, just like, what's the country first in the ends?
Namibia.
Okay.
Beautiful. I got it now.
Good for you.
I got it now.
Yes. Beautiful, yes. Namibia.
I picture you standing in front of the mirror watching your lips going, Namibia, Namibia,
Namibia.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up.
And Seth, you wanted to give a shout out.
I have one thing to say to a good friend of all of us. His name's Eric Brand. He's feeling a little down right now. I hope that you feel better soon, buddy, and all of us think about you. He's a beautiful human being, and it's a shame that not more people know him. To know him is to love him.
Indeed. Hopefully we'll see you on the mend, buddy, and then we'll see you maybe at some trivia. Maybe we can even have you on one of these times.
Yeah.
Smart guy, fun guy, good to listen to.
Yeah, and a longtime trivia partner of myself.
Mm-hmm. I played
from
on
Stevie
Team with
Tomatoes
him.
Days. Yep. Yeah, he's getting some surgery, and hopefully he'll be feeling right as rain here soon.
We're all thinking of you, buddy. All right, that concludes this episode of No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushnida. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30 p.m. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7, and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starts at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, please tell our listeners where you can be found on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights, Lee, let me tell you. Ow, ow, ow! The late night trivia, 9 o'clock p.m. at Nice Guys Pints and Pies. Till 10:30, about an hour and a half worth of your time. Go down there, get yourself a General So's pizza.
Mm.
Get yourself a hot honey pizza.
Oh.
Get yourself maybe a couple of glasses of some beer you've never heard of before, maybe an IPA or a fresh Abita root beer with coconut rum. That's the Mark Davis.
The Mark Davis.
On ice and some friends, maybe an order of garlic knots or some of those deep fried Oreos, but get them with Nutella. Tell them I sent
you.
Oh,
that sounds good.
It is very good.
Yeah.
And play a little trivia. You can win some, you can win a $25 bar tab. You can win some sharp signs. You can win some beer and some other various things. A 4-year anniversary is coming up, I believe, October 19th. Will be the 4-year anniversary down
there.
Of the trivia there.
That's awesome.
So we should be doing something special for that.
Right.
Too, so.
I will find poker or another game to play on that night. Just like okay, I did
fantastic.
My birthday. Yeah.
You know what? You can go ahead and do that. Please. Feel free. Well, you'll be doing trivia before it.
So. I'll try to swing by.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Seth, anything else?
I would like to see more people show up to both No Nonsense at 3 Pepper on Monday nights. And there's a lot of people already, but it doesn't hurt to have more competition at Nice Guys on Wednesday. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate this. We'll say blast.
Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, it was a very, very good time. And I think that does it for today's No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys, or hear you guys, or you'll hear us guys next week.